Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
Greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us tonight as we begin our 2 hours, the fastest 2 hours. And it is the July the 5th. We just celebrate the anniversary of the birth of the United States of America yesterday. As we still celebrate this wonderful 4th of July, it is the 21st birthday to me to live in America. And I know it's 238 years for America since 1976, I believe. And it is my joy to have with me tonight our producer and my co-host, Christy Johnson. Hello, Christy, and how are you?
Hey, Sama, I'm doing fine. Are we sounding any better yet?
No, you still have a bad sound there. I don't know what's wrong. Perhaps we can do something to fix your voice. But It's going to be okay. We pray the Lord will fix this sound. I have muted my computer, Christy, all the way, so there's nothing come out of my computer. But besides that, I have no idea why we have this problem. But
we're just going to let people know we're having a little bit of a problem tonight, and some of you may also be experiencing some problems. If that's the case, you'll understand. But pray for us that we can get straightened out and get on track.
Okay. Do you want to try your other phone, Christy? Maybe your other phone will work better?
I can try it, but it's...
If you don't mind, let's do a quick... I'll
okay.
Kick you on your other number. I'm sorry? Christy?
Yes, I have to click over, so...
Okay, I'm gonna put you on the other phone and close this one.
Okay, you can't have them both open, no matter what.
I understand. Okay. I put the other one on, and we take this one out. Hopefully you will have a better sound right now. Go ahead, talk to me for a second, please.
Okay, hope everybody's having a wonderful
that's
July
much better.
Weekend.
That's much better. Amen.
Did you have
Amen.
Them both
that's
open before? Only one
no,
can be
Christy.
Open. All right.
No,
we're okay. It's probably, let me tell you what's going on. The only thing I could figure out is if both the phone and my internet are really acting up. So you saw I'm not being much of a producer tonight. It's got to be the internet itself because my phone line is tied into the internet. So that pretty much answers the reason we're doing that. So
I thought
if we're better.
It's much better now. And I thought we have a problem with your computer, not with your computer, with your sound because of your old age. You're getting older, and the older you get, the thing does not go right. And that's what I thought first. But maybe I'm wrong, Christy. I'm not sure. But anyway, thank God you have a better voice right now, and I think we're going to be
good.
Just fine as we go on with our show. We are talking about... go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to just let everybody know that I normally have put stuff out on Twitter by now, and I haven't been able to do that. And some of our friends that are probably looking for tweets, I'm going to try to do that in the interim. But anybody who can pass along the connection, please do so, because I usually post it for a lot of different Facebook pages, and I was not able to do that tonight. So pass the word. This will be a good show, but we're a little bit short on information out there.
That's okay. Everything will be fine. Well, it's freedom or surrender. It's freedom or surrender. We were celebrating in America. I was watching TV yesterday and about proud to be an American, and they were asking lots of people about America and how all the people are on Fox News talking about how they are proud to be an American for many reasons. And I believe the one reason why I am proud to be an American, it is because of freedom. This is something I never had in my life. This is something many countries around the world do not even know what it is. You know, it is And I don't know how to explain this to the American about the 4th of July and the celebration of our independence. It is really, I cannot put in words. It's like, imagine with me, Christy, if you're talking to somebody who's blind and you try to describe to him this beautiful flower, you know, and you tell him about all the different colors in it and all this, the shape and the size and the pattern in every one of the leaves of this flower. The blind will not have a clue what you're talking about. It doesn't matter how smart you are, how intelligent you are, how you can describe flowers the best, in the best description that any artist can draw exactly in the details. But if the person is blind, he will not understand what it is, a flower. And to me, as Egyptian, who come from Egypt to this great country of America for the last 21 years, I understand what it actually, wait a minute, 22 years, I apologize, 22 years. I understand what it is to have the freedom, because this is something I never had, and I'm here. I enjoy it every day in America. But I'm afraid, Christy, that the Americans who were born here all their life, who were, they came to exist in this country through birth, and they grew up into this freedom, I'm afraid these Americans have no clue what it is to be a free, to be a free man, to be a person who lives in a free country. Because normally, when we have something and we did not work hard for it and we never lost it, we normally take it for granted. It's like me right now after my surgery in my eyes, which I did a good, 8 days ago, 9 years ago. Man, oh man, this eye was half blind. I can say that I realized in the last 2 months before my surgery, when I drive my RV or drive the car and I open my right eye, I can see the road is clear very well. And I open my left eye and close my right eye, man, it's dark. So now, wow. The last thing is, even after the surgery, while my eyes was full of blood, literally it was red blood, I can see by my left eye better. And today, praise God, the redness is almost gone away, and I can see by my left eye as good as I can see by my right eye. And man, as the doctor tells me, it's going to even get better. So I appreciate my sight in my eye as I appreciate the freedom we have in America. I believe I appreciate this freedom more than any American, because Americans have not seen or have not lived in a country or in any time in their life without this freedom. So we kind of take it for granted, Christy, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I don't know how many people may have seen, the interview that Megyn Kelly did with Dinesh Souza and Bill Ayers, two people who have a completely different view of America. Bill Ayers, the terrorist friend of Obama, talking about how evil America is, how America is wrong, and the only good thing about it is that people can protest here. And D'Souza, who came from India, talking about how wonderful the freedom in America is. And that's like what you're saying. You appreciate America's freedom more than Bill Ayers or some, everyday Americans don't always appreciate what it means to live in a free country. I think that's why we haven't safeguarded it maybe like we should.
That's terrible. Yes, indeed. I was watching Bill Ayers with Megyn Kelly, and I felt this man is so evil, and he's so liberal. He's so liberal, so evil. Of course, I felt sick in my stomach to listen to this man. This is a man who's thinking that because we were involved in the Vietnam or because we were involved in any war or because we have any army, he's thinking this is evil. And he won't end this by any way, in any means, including bombing. I mean, he's talking about 20,000 bombing was going off in America. His group was only responsible for 20 bombing. And he said, well, it was only for building. Wait a minute. Why you want to bomb a building in America? For America to be involved in war. Every war America was involved in was for one reason only. It is to free somebody else. We were involved in World War One, World War Two, and Vietnam, and every war. It was for the good. But this idiot, this ignorant
Ayers. Yeah, Bill Ayers.
Can't remember. Bill Ayers. This guy is so sick. He can't see anything wrong with it.
I remember being in school when a group or a democratic society, that's what gave birth to the Weathermen and then the Weathermen Underground. Those were all part of the same group. Bill Ayers started the Students for a Democratic Society. Let me tell you why I believe this man is such a liar. The Students for a Democratic Society, literally, in 1968 or 1969, I don't remember which year, threatened my life. Now I'm going to give away my age. Uh-oh. I was 17 years old, and they threatened me, shot a gun near my high school, and then the next day said, well, you know, next time we're not going to miss. That was just a warning. These were people who would go after a 17-year-old because I said I thought their group was ridiculous. This is the same man, Bill Ayers, that started that group. Now, he was in college at the time, and guess where he is now? He's a wonderful college professor teaching your wonderful Christian students in the colleges of America, these people. That's where they are now.
I think it's a crime for any liberal professor like this idiot to be near a building of education. Not to serve in the building of education, not to even clean the floor in a building of education, if it's a college or some university or in the high school. I think it's a crime for people like this idiot to be close to any building. I mean it. Because these are the people who I believe he already destroyed America. You know how many liberals in our school right now, the high school and college all over America? They're more liberal than like 60, 70 to 30 conservatives. 70% of our professors and our teachers all over our college and our high school are liberal. And they're all Bill. They're all Bill with different name, with different shape, with different color. They're all Bill. And, Lord, if you think it is bad in America today, wait. Wait until the next generation will come into place. It will be... I believe deep in my heart, and I feel sick to say that America is going down. It's going down faster than we ever think.
But you see, this man who is known to have been a terrorist, of course, he's claiming that he didn't do many of the things that are being said. I don't believe him for a minute. We all knew they were bragging about what all they had done. This is where we see a huge door open for spiritual evil. That's why he embraces Obama. He embraces the theology of Islam because of its nature. It's evil.
Absolutely. For our friends who are in the chat room, Christy does not have chat room. Welcome to the chat room. I'm glad you're there. You can spend time with each other, talk to each other, ask me a question. Once in a while, I'm going to go look. So I'm sorry, Christy does not have access to the internet. Perhaps while we're working here, she'll be able to log on the internet if she can.
I'm working on it.
Try it as we go. It is the topic for tonight is about, obviously, freedom or surrender. And I believe I hate to be in a negative mood. I hate to be in this spirit which I have tonight, because I'm sorry to tell you, this country, unless God performs miracle, and somehow in the midterm election, we can clean up the mess of the Democrat and Barack Hussein Obama, I believe this is maybe our last celebration of the birthday in America, because the days is coming. It's going to be even worse.
You know, Usama, I remember when you first put together the presentation revealing the truth about Barack Hussein Obama. And, you know, I was cutting a little I was cutting a little piece of that video out today, and I wanted to call it. It's two and a half minutes. I'd like to put it on the internet from that presentation where you said, the only time I know Obama is not lying. Now, mind you, this was in 2008, before he was president. So the only time I know this man is not lying is when his lips are closed. I want to put that on the air because you were saying we were going to be dealing with a liar as president before he was ever elected the first time. And now
because
people
I know,
are coming
because Christy,
yes.
I know the man. I know Muslims. I know Allah. I know Muhammad. I know Muslim scholars. Barack Hussein, Mr. Hussein is no different than any Hussein. They're all the same. They're one of the same. I don't care if you have curly hair or you have soft hair. If you have no hair. If you are gray, if you are black, if you are white. A Muslim is a Muslim is a Muslim. Islam built on deception. Allah, the God of Muhammad, is the best deceiver. Allah is Satan. And every Muslim also follows the same deception of Allah and Muhammad. You can't help it. You can so
well,
how in the world you can be a deceiver but through lying? And that's who Obama was and who Obama will always be.
Well, and this is why I think it's important for people to know that your problems with Obama had to do with what you already knew about Islam, and that's what you were teaching in that video. This is what Islam teaches. Now, when you did the next video that was political, and it's on also on your webpage, which is Freedom or Surrender. That's what we're talking about tonight. You were saying we cannot have freedom if we have Islam. Islam has no freedom. That's the other important part. There's no freedom in Islam. So how do you have freedom under a president that doesn't even believe in freedom? Have you noticed how he doesn't believe in freedom?
No.
Go ahead.
Absolutely not. So that's why when George W. Bush went to war in Iraq and went to war in Afghanistan for the purpose of bringing freedom to the Iraqi or freedom to the Afghani. Remember, Christy, years ago,
yes.
I said this war is nothing but waste of blood and money. If I can bid everything I got, if I'm a bidder, but I'm not a bidder, I don't bid, I would bid everything I got a million times, and I know for sure that I will win every time, that there will never be freedom in Iraq, and there will never be freedom in Afghanistan, as there will never be freedom in Syria, as there will never be freedom in Egypt, as there will never be freedom in any of the 57 Muslim countries. And soon, Europe will lose its freedom, and so is America. Why? Because the cancer of Islam is spread all over the world. It is too late. It's too late.
You know, Usama, I think that this is something where we talk about America, and we talk about America's greatness. And America has been a great nation, but I believe, and you tell me what you think, I believe the reason America was great, God blessed us, and we're turning our back on the God that blessed us by,
opening our arms to Islam? Absolutely. And the greatest blessing America ever had is to be free. It is. And I will say for the million times that most of you Americans who have never been overseas, who have never lived in a country who do not know what is freedom, you will never appreciate what you got here unless you go somewhere else and unless when you lose it. But I hate to say that if we lose our freedom, it will never come back. And you know what I always say in churches when I go speak in churches, Christy, or any meeting actually, I say, American people, you need to take a trip to Haiti for heaven's sake. You don't have to go to Africa. You don't have to go to the last part of the world. Just go to Haiti, next door here. It will take you on a couple of hours in any flight if you're in Florida or somewhere close to Haiti. And live in Haiti for a week and come back and kiss the floor, kiss the dirt of America. Because now you know what it is to live in America. But if you were born here, as I said earlier, and you grew up here all your life, I guarantee you, you have no clue. You have no idea. What is freedom? And I'm just, my heart is aching for America as we allow Muslims to take over this country. Just last week, as I was doing our radio broadcast with a crosstalk, we talked about Eid al-Iftar, the Iftar of Ramadan, the breaking of the fasting of Ramadan, which, by the way, Muslims do not have never fasted a day, as we shared many times in our lives. They just eat at night, mm-hmm. and they fast, and they don't eat a day. And the whole world eat a day and don't eat at night. So if we consider Ramadan to be fasting, then everyone in planet Earth are fasting. Because people only eat during 12 hours, and they do other things during the other 12 hours. I mean, right. People do not eat. In America, listen to this, Chris. America, people eat dinner around 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. And until 7 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock in the morning, they don't eat a bite. Because they get ready for bed, brush their teeth, do some couple hours watching TV or something, go to bed and wake up 7 o'clock in the morning, take a shower, brush your teeth, 8 o'clock before you have your first cup of coffee. So all Americans fast not 1 month of the year, but all year long. All the night. If that's fasting. Of course not fasting. But what I've seen now is Muslims are celebrating the iftar, the breaking of the fast, in the Pentagon, in the White House, in the Congress. If they have a meeting in Congress, they break the fast for them in the end of the day. It is so ridiculous that the jihadis, the extremes which were trying to fight overseas, the jihadis are true Muslim believers who are killing our soldiers, who are destroying the West, who are trying to force the Sharia, Islamic law, on us here in America, are the same one who celebrate the Ramadan, one of the seven pillars, in every important office in this country. And we have not gone out yet.
You know, Yusama, when I was looking at the video revealing the truth about Barack Hussein Obama, do you remember how we discovered a web page called Muslims for Obama 08, and they wanted six things to be done for Muslims if he became president? And this was one of them, that there was going to be the Eids, they were going to be celebrated and on the calendar. And we're seeing this more and more in all of our government offices. We're seeing it now in the military, where they're preventing our military men and women from, you know, breaking the fast of Islam. It's ridiculous, but that is exactly what's happening.
What I'm going to say, Chrissy, let me put it this way. If you serve Muslim lawful food anywhere in America, it's literally equal to killing Americans. Because that's how it's going to end. You're celebrating, you're giving Muslim freedom to eat what is lawful. Later, as it is stated in Quran chapter 9, verse 29, later, the same Muslims whom you are now serving lawful food, the same Muslims are the one who's going to be killing us for not eating the lawful food. Instead of we remove Islam from America completely out, gone, out. You're going to live in America, no such a thing as Ramadan. You're going to live in America, no such a thing as Hajj. You live in America, no such a thing as five times prayer a day, because these are cults. They pray five times a day, and they curse every Jew, and they curse every Christian 27 times a day in their prayer, Christy. While they're praying, they say to Allah that the Jews are cursed. That the Jews, the anger of Allah is on, and the Christians are lost. And we celebrate these people in America, and we serve them lawful food. Tomorrow, the same Muslims whom we're serving today lawful food, they will be killing our children and our grandchildren in America. Why? Because we recognize them in America. Because we allow them to take over America.
I want to emphasize something, Usama, that I don't know if I heard, because I was looking at something you had referred me to, or if it's something we saw, you know, when we were working on something. But I found this, and this is important to emphasize what you're saying. When there is no lawful food available, when there's no halal food out there, then Muslims, you know, they can't expect you, the Christian, to eat lawful food, because there isn't any lawful food. But when lawful food is available everywhere, then you become marked in their eyes because you don't eat lawful food. I mean, am I right here? We're setting it up so they can pick you out and go, they choose not to eat lawful food. That's when It's a problem now.
Actually,
now you're
more. Okay, acknowledging Muslims gives them an inch, they will take a couple miles out of your life. If you give them 10 inches, they will take the rest of your life. So you acknowledge Muslim, oh, halal food for the Muslim, okay? The second thing, oh, Muslims have the right to build a mosque. The third thing, oh, Muslims have the right to take time off on Fridays because it's the day of their holidays. Now they can have the Ramadan break and they have the Adha break. They now have two another celebration for the Muslims. Oh, Muslim, Sharia. Oh, okay. Muslim can practice Sharia, Islamic law everywhere in America. And what comes with Sharia? But death to American. Freedom, the loss of our freedom. We are going to lose our freedom in America because we allowed Muslims to take over America by allowing them to live in America and exist in America to practice their religion in America. Their religion is not another loving, peaceful religion. It is a cult. And in it is the end of freedom of religion. And in it is the end of freedom in any way, in any shape of anything. When I talk about freedom tonight, it's very important. Go ahead, Chrissy.
Yeah, you have often emphasized to understand that freedom literally comes from being a Christian. The God of the Bible is the one who sets us free. But in Islam, instead of freedom, Islam means surrender. You don't have freedom.
Surrender, absolutely. Very important in the presentation which we're going to be sharing with you tonight, a little bit of it tonight, freedom of surrender. If you look at the beginning of it, if you got the DVD or you look at the beginning of it, you see the flag, which is I have designed it specifically for this. And you see the word freedom is written F-R-E-E-D-O-M in the top, and then below it you see the word or surrender. And then if you look at the left side, you're going to see the American flag. And if you look at the background, you see huge flag, the Muslim flag, the moon and the sun, the Muslim flag. And the right side, you see the Statue of Liberty. The Statue of Liberty is a picture. It is the symbols of freedom in America. When I look at the Statue of Liberty, I know for sure that's freedom. That's America. And the whole world knows that. But if you look at the hand of the Statue of Liberty, you're not going to see a torch as we normally see it. In our design here, I see white rag. So the Statue of Liberty holding in her left hand a white rag, which literally is surrendering, submitting. And as you look at how Muslims cover up the Statue of Liberty in a burqa, in a hijab, that is their agenda. Not only they want us to surrender, submit, but we must cover ourselves in the hijab, because that is the ultimate goal. Guys, I don't know how many of you are watching the news and what's happening in the Middle East, but if you look at the agenda, the five-year agenda, which is the ISIS, now they call them just IS, Islamic State plan.
Yes.
We talked about this in our program with Brother Jim on Crosstalk on VCY just last week. But if you look at the plan, you see that Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, no Israel, by the way. Israel does not exist. And then next to it, you have Iraq, and you go to the other side of Africa, Egypt, Libya, Tunisia, and Sudan, and some other parts. All this is a black one country, and that is their first 5 years plan. So what is the plan of the IS, of the Islamic State? It's to make Islamic State. And what is the plan? It's to get all these borders off and grow up the empire, the kingdom of Muhammad on earth through the Khalifa, through the Islamic leader. And that is the first five-year plan. But their ultimate plan is the entire planet Earth, Christy. The entire planet Earth will be one black man, one country, one people, Muslim, rule over the world. And that is their game. That is their hope. And I don't know if the American people are realizing that or not, but that's the reality of it.
I think that one of the problems is that when people have tried to discuss this, Usama, they have come back and made those individuals sound like they are, you know, conspiracy theorists that are equal with those who believe that the planet is being invaded by aliens who are taking on human form. You know, they're little green men, but they're trying to look like people. I mean, people do not want to believe that that could possibly happen. And yet, if you're a Christian, I would point out the Bible says in the end, the Antichrist will take control of the world. So can someone or something that's evil take control of the world? The Bible said, yes, it will happen. So Christians, I would think, would be the ones who are truly the most likely to understand this danger, because the Bible predicts that evil will come and triumph even over God's people in the end. So why are the Christians the last ones who want to accept the truth about Islam? In some cases, you know, they, oh, no, no, Muslims are wonderful. I know wonderful Muslim people. They don't want to do anything bad. Well, they may not want to, but Islam basically teaches that that's what they're supposed to do.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, it is 347-857-1380. I see we have one caller, and now we'll check with him in the break to see if he or she would like to come in. 347, our number, 347-857-1380. If you have a comment or a question, you want to talk about freedom and how America is about to lose its freedom, please give us a call. And we'll take the first break, and we'll come back afterwards. We'll continue with our talk tonight of freedom or surrender. A quick break, and we'll be right back.
Years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicky@thestraightway.org. That's Vicky spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
And welcome back to our second half hour for our program for today. And I hope everyone had a wonderful time to celebrate the 4th of July with your family, friends, and your neighbors. And it's good to have with you me tonight, Christy Johnson. Hey, Christy, how's it going?
Hey, it's going that I still have no internet. I think I know what happened. I think somebody set off some fireworks and blew out my internet company.
How shallow? You have it in the air or soft on the top of the grass?
Crazy. I've never had this problem before. I have absolutely, can't get on anything. I've been trying ever since, 6 o'clock tonight? So
think with me,
it's not happening yet.
I want to share something very, very practical right now. You have a hard time, Christy, to have the internet since 6 o'clock. But can you imagine with me, just use your imagination, that you have no access to the internet for weeks and weeks? That is one of the great things about America. We're free. We have access to the internet. We have access to the television. I know sometimes we have a problem with our computer, we have a problem with the internet and you lose it for 6 hours or 10 hours or even a day or even 2 days. But soon, eventually, you will have your internet back because we live in a free country. But can you imagine right now, if you are in many Muslim countries, they, the leaders, the people who's in charge of this country, will not allow the people to have access to satellite or to the internet because they know. If they give them a little bit of freedom and they have access to the internet or have access to satellite or have phone service, which this means that these people who are in charge of this country, who are really ruling over these countries, will lose their authority, will lose their power, will lose their dictatorship. So the best thing you do is don't allow the people of Pakistan or the people of Afghanistan or the people of whatever Muslim country to have access to the internet or to have access to satellites, because maybe if the people there saw what the rest of the world have, maybe the people will revolt and maybe the people will get mad and maybe people will be set free. But they don't want people to have freedom. Therefore, the best thing you do is don't give them internet.
It's amazing, Usama, that at one time or another, there have been people in Muslim countries who have even connected with your program or who are people who look at your ministry's webpage, and we see that these are people coming from other countries. And then we also find out later that access has been cut off. You know, these are people who fear the truth. They don't want the truth to be known. So we as Christians, you know, our Lord says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what gives us freedom. So when we can speak the truth and tell the truth, other people who hear that, other people who can hear the truth about who Jesus is or hear the truth about what's going on in the countries that are free, Muslims and other tyrants around the world do not want their people to hear the truth.
Absolutely. Freedom or surrender. You know, before we get to this, I'd like to quote three statements, which come directly, by the way, from the dictionary, the Whisper online dictionary. We're talking about what is freedom. The first one I choose to put in our presentation is the quality of being frank, open, or outspoken. That is a sign or a mark or a proof that the society or the country or the people group have freedom. The quality of being frank, open, or outspoken. You see, we have this in America, Christy. But do you think American people realize that is freedom? Just to be able to just open your mouth and share whatever you have in your heart, whatever you have in your mind. You can critique anyone, everyone, at any time, at any place. We don't have this in Egypt. We don't have this in the Middle East. We don't have this in Iraq or Afghanistan. And we will never have it. Not only we don't have it, and the most important thing is they, under Islam, will not allow us to have it. Go, Christy, go for it.
And I think that's where freedom of speech is so important. And, you know, we talked last week about how CARE, a Muslim organization, is trying to stop the freedom of speech. When you stop the freedom of being able to be frank, to speak the truth, to say your opinion, when you stop that, you are stopping freedom. That is a part of freedom. It's a basic part of freedom. And CARE, we've already covered how want you to have that freedom. Yeah.
Yes, CARE wanted America like Egypt. CARE wanted America like Saudi Arabia. CARE wanted America like any other Muslim country where you cannot speak. You cannot be outspoken. You don't have the opportunity to just open your mouth and start sharing or rejecting. Because if they can silence our freedom of speech, guess what? They can do anything else they want because nobody complains. You cannot complain. If you cannot complain, that means you're no longer a free man. You're no longer a free woman. And I don't think American people are realizing that until now, that that is one of the great goals the care wanted for us. They don't want us to have freedom of speech. You're not supposed to speak in Islam.
Yeah, the United Nations has also adopted this kind of a recommendation, and it is that it should be illegal. It should be against international law to say anything negative about Islam.
Yep.
Well, you could say anything negative about Israel or Jewish people or Christians.
Oh, no, that's
no
problem. No, that's not, see, here's the point. Muslims do not want me to speak in the truth about Islam, but they can say whatever they want to say about everybody else. That's okay. You see, that is the beauty about Islam. In Egypt, it's not we do not have freedom of speech in Egypt. No, we do have freedom of speech in Egypt, which means what? Muslims can insult every Christian. Muslims can insult Jesus Christ. Muslims can insult the Bible. Muslims can insult Christianity. But at the same time, you Christian, keep your mouth shut and don't tell me that I'm wrong. See, that is what I'm trying to say here. It's not like Muslims do not speak at all. No, they do. They will tell you Jesus is not the Son of God. Jesus is not God Almighty. You are an infidel to believe in that. They will tell you Jesus is just a man. But at the same time, you cannot say, sir, you're wrong. Jesus is God Almighty who came in the flesh. They will not allow us to even argue with them about the things we believe about our faith. So you sit in the classroom like I used to, and the teacher mocks Christianity, and the teacher mocks the Bible, and you cannot say, sir, no, that's wrong. That's not true. You're wrong. Because if you say that he's wrong, that means Muhammad is wrong. And if you say Muhammad is wrong, then now you're insulting Islam. Now they want you dead.
Yeah.
You see what's happening here? You see what's happening here? So it's not like they have freedom to do anything they want, to speak anything they want against us. But we cannot defend ourselves, we cannot defend our faith, and we cannot say to them that they're wrong. But listen to this one, Chris. Another quotation to what is freedom from the Whisper, okay? From the Webster online dictionary. It said, the absence of necessity, coercion, or constraint in choice or action. Boy, oh boy. There's lots of words here, Christy. That is freedom.
Yeah.
That is freedom. And I'm sorry, Christians in America are losing the freedom to speak out. And we do not have too much choices now. We do not have too much choice. I mean, if that's what Obama wants, that's what you're going to get. Like it or not. End of story. If that's what the liberal want, that's what you're going to get. I mean, literally, if you think about IHOP, not IHOP, I'm sorry, is this, what is this, the case in the court last week, not IHOP, the Hobby Lobby. Okay,
Hobby Lobby.
Hobby Lobby has been given 16 choice, before even Obamacare, to all their workers, 16 options for not getting pregnant. They rejected only four, and these four are literally nothing but killing a fertilized egg. They're killing a baby. But guess what? The Democrat, Hillary, and others come up with this huge word, deep word. Oh, the Republican Party are stretching out their long, long arm inside the woman's body to tell her what to do, what not to do. This is stupid. Somebody has to stop this foolishness. This is madness. You have 16 options. You know what? There's actually 17. You know what is number 17, Chrissy?
Abstinence.
Absolutely. You don't have to. I mean, you know what? Hello, liberal ladies who love to sleep around. You can sleep around all day long, all week long. When it's time for you that you have the eggs to be fertilized, don't have sex just during the time where you can get pregnant. And then prostitute yourself to every man walking the street, for heaven's sake. Is that what it is? This liberal, all what they want is to be a prostitute. And they want me, the Christian ministry, pay for it, the Christian man to pay for it, to first of all, to help them not to get pregnant, and if they got pregnant, to help them to kill the baby. I'm sorry. How about the choice of abstinence? Don't have sex, period, until you get married to have a baby.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous argument that they're making. And, of course, every one of the women, including Hillary Clinton, that spoke out about how terrible this was, never mentioned or probably never bothered to figure out that they were not being denied birth control. They were only being denied these four things that Obamacare had specified had to be in the insurance. And these four things were abortive in nature. Those are the only four that they were objecting to. So this whole idea, you know, when you have people in the public I that are supposed to be leaders, and they believe and show you that lying to you is their way of getting your vote, you should reject that. I don't care if they're lying about everything you want to hear and want to believe. How could we elect such liars or the people that support these liars? Satan is the father of lies. Who do you think they are being influenced by when they sit there and lie in order to get elected? It makes me furious.
But the problem, Chris, is all the liberal media are going to play these words by Hillary and other liberal ladies and other liberal idiots, but they will never expose the truth to the American people. They're hiding.
Yep.
See, that's no
yep.
freedom here. They're taking one side, the side of the liberal, to make the Republican look bad. So hopefully next election they have more women to vote. You know what? I'm just sick and tired of it. Even for these liberals, or even some of them, sadly, the people on Fox News, they will tell you, I'm for life. I'm not for choice. I'm for life. I said, no, don't use the word choice. You see, is that pro-life or pro-death? What do you do? Life or death? What is choice? You know what choice is? You got 17 choice. Don't get pregnant in 17 ways.
That's it.
This is sick. Let me say this, Chris. If these liberal ladies are so horny they cannot stop themselves from getting pregnant, then guess what? Tough luck. Get the baby out. Keep the baby inside your body until the baby is completely 9 months and birth the baby, for heaven's sake. It's sick.
Well, you know, It's a very sad situation because when we started introducing the idea into our schools that, you know, the human being is nothing but an animal, we started teaching evolution and man descended from animals and, you know, all this kind of stuff. What came next? I'm serious. The very next thing that came in is that, well, kids are going to have sex. That's just how it is. You can't stop that. They're going to have sex. And this is what they kept saying. To who? To the kids. Then they have to introduce birth control because, my gosh, these kids cannot control themselves and they're just going to go out and have sex, so you don't want them to get pregnant. So you have to give birth control to all these kids. But we're going to tell them, don't have sex, but we know you're going to have sex. You see, all of this has really corrupted the whole mind of a generation. So now these women who believe that you are destroying their life if you're not going to allow them to have an abortion, it's because they can't control themselves. They cannot control themselves.
You know what,
really sad.
You know what I'm going to say. You want to have abortion, go ahead. Go ahead, cut yourself, open yourself up, and kill your own baby, whatever you want to do. But don't use my tax money for it. Not in a bill, not in a surgery. Yeah, just go ahead. I don't want to be involved in a murder. I don't want to be involved, not with a penny, not in any near public service. Go ahead, get yourself some liberal doctor like you who can put you to sleep and kill you and your baby, too, if you want to. And that doesn't matter to me, really. If this is a free country. You want to kill yourself? Go ahead. You want to kill your baby? Go ahead. Commit suicide or kill yourself, which is sick for me to say that as a Christian. But you know what? Don't use me in it, period.
Yeah. Well, that's
because I also have freedom, you know.
Right. We have looked at how the government has changed, in my opinion, the morality and the ethics of every student that goes through the public school system. And I've watched this. You saw me, you know, I have worked very closely with the public school system. I work very closely with the Department of Human Services. I was going into people's homes who were having problems with their kids. And there are very few times that there was not a basic moral, ethical, behavioral problem that was really connected to how the parents were being prevented from teaching the values that they wanted to teach their children. It's like if I feel like I need to, correct my child, then I'm fearful that somebody's going to say I'm abusing my child if I spank my child. You know, there's all kinds of things that have come in here that have helped us to create this environment. But, you know, people may not understand how that is helping us to lose our freedom. Well, when freedom is abused, when it's abused for the wrong reasons, then everything, I want to do everything. What if I feel like I was born to be a pedophile? Oh, well, that's okay. So what? We're going to leave children wide open to be molested because people believe it's okay to be a pedophile?
If he's born to be a pedophile, we should hire him in a public school so he can have lots of kids to work with. It is sick. It is sick.
Yeah,
now, let me read one more thing about what is freedom from the Webster Online Dictionary. I found that freedom is liberation from slavery or restraint or from the power of another, independence. You know what I mean? This is what the dictionary said, independency. That is freedom. I am no slave to anybody. I have my liberty. I'm a free man. Nobody restrained me. Nobody put me under the sun. I am independent. That is freedom. And guess what's happened in America the last 5 or 6 years since Obama came to power, Christy? We have more people in slavery in this country than ever. I deeply believe in my heart, and God's my witness that I'm telling the truth, that I never took a dime from Uncle Sam since I came to this country. The last 21 or 22 years, I've been giving my taxes every year. I pay to help the school system in my county in Florida. Part of our taxation in our home in Florida is to pay towards school, to help the community. I pay for fixing the roads. I pay for building every government building. I never got dime, not one penny, out of Uncle Sam. Not in welfare, not in food stamp, not in any form or any shape. I don't believe in that. I am a free man. But Obama and his party want to have more and more slaves because I deeply believe in my heart that anyone who receives the help of the government of America, if it's welfare, or food stamp, or housing, anything, unless they're truly qualified for it, they are being sold as slaves to Obama and his people. And that's exactly what they're doing. They are going to feed you. They're going to give you a housing place that you go vote for them once every 4 years. It is illegal, in my opinion. Of course, that's not the law. In my opinion, it's illegal for people who have any help from the government to vote. I wish we can pass a law to put it in writing that if you receive any help from Uncle Sam, you're not qualified to vote. And if we do this, the Democrat Party automatically will never have the White House forever. They will lose because right now, Chris, they have 47 million votes. Can you imagine that? 47 million votes automatically go to Barack Hussein Obama and Hillary Clinton because almost all people in welfare, they know that they're slaves to the Democratic Party, and they will continue to vote for the Democratic Party because they know if the Republican will take control of this country, they will stop their aid, which I don't think this aid, it is literally making these people depend on the government, not independency, but depend on the government on almost everything, and wait until Obamacare is over. Obama will add, or Hillary, whoever comes in the Democrat Party, will add another 25 to 30 million new person in Obamacare to depend on us, the government, to take care of them in Obamacare. So where is the independency? There's a huge difference between the word independency and dependency. They're the opposite of each other.
Yes, and you know, Yusam, I remember you talking about this before Obama passed the health care bill, and you were saying if we talk about the definition of freedom, which you've been reading there, freedom from coercion to have to do something. Here we are, every American now compelled to have health insurance. That is the opposite of freedom. We're now compelled to have it. And just as you were saying about dependency, I've been having a conversation just in the last couple of days, someone who has been a client of mine for a long time, and they've had to depend on the welfare system for different things. It's almost impossible. It's almost impossible to get out of it because if you get into the system, if you make $10 too much money on your paycheck, you might lose the place you live, or you may lose your food stamps. And you can't leap from being in poverty to being wealthy. You have to go a step at a time. But all these programs keep you from making those steps because if I'm going to feed my children, well, I want to make sure that I have food on the table. But if I make $10 too much, I'll lose $100 in food stamps. Now I can't put food on the table. So make sure, I got to make sure I don't make that extra $10. It's horrible what welfare has done to so many people in this country. Like you said, it's making them slaves.
Yep. That is freedom from the dictionary, and I know for sure, sadly, every year when you have a liberal in the White House, another 10 million or so will be added to the slave. Soon, if they continue to do that with the end of Obamacare, if we could not get rid of Obamacare, that means the Republicans have zero chance to win the White House ever, forever, zero chance. Unless we can fix this country and we'll go in the right direction, Lord help us. Lord help us, we will not lose our freedom. We're going to take another break, and when we come back from the break, we'll be talking about what does the Quran teach about freedom? What the Quran teaches about freedom? Because if we can understand this part, Christy, if we can understand the relationship between freedom and Islam or what the Quran teaches about freedom, maybe then we'll figure out what in the world we're doing in the world and what in the world we're doing in America. Why we lost 6,000 plus 700-800 soldiers in the Middle East. Why we waste trillions of dollars in war. Because we're assuming in America, if we do that, we can bring freedom to the world. But that's not what's going to happen, simply because there's no freedom in Islam. Freedom does not exist in Islam. A quick break, we'll come back, if the Lord's willing. When we come back, we'll see about what does the Quran teach about freedom. Well, we'll see you in a few seconds here.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that, upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
And welcome back to our second hour for this beautiful July the 5th, just one day after the great celebration in America of the independence, liberty, freedom. And as we share here, Sister Christy, I'm afraid that we're going to lose that. I really deep in my heart believe we're going to lose that. We're going to lose our freedom, especially when we know, as we look in the Quran, to what do Muslims believe about freedom. Muslims are taking over this country, even though there are only 1%+ Muslims live in this land. But they already have so much affection or influence on this country beyond Niger that now we are in Ramadan and Muslims celebrate the iftar of Ramadan in almost every important office in America. We no longer say Merry Christmas in America, but we say Happy Ramadan. Can you imagine that, Christy? We're losing Christmas. People cannot say Merry Christmas because somebody gets offended. But Muslims can say Happy Ramadan and Happy Adha.
This is just the slow
infiltration to America. Get rid of the light, darkness will take over, and then the roaches will grow. What does the Quran teach us about freedom? Let me ask a question, Christian. Do you think the word freedom ever mentioned in the Quran?
Well, Usana, that's a loaded question. Since I know that you know the answer, why don't you tell us about it?
Why can't you guess how many times the word freedom mentioned in the Quran?
How many times? I'm going to tell you. Freedom, zero.
Zero. You have the right answer. Bravo, bravo, Christy. Even though you are not that scholar, but, you know, seriously, freedom does not fit with Islam. Freedom does not fit with the life of a Muslim man or a woman. Do you know, Christy, if there's freedom in Islam, Islam will end?
Wow.
Let me say it again. If there is freedom in Islam, Islam will cease to exist. Do you understand me now?
I think I know where you're going with that.
It's very simple. If there's freedom in Islam, a Muslim woman or a Muslim man say, hey, I don't want to be a Muslim. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Jew. I want to be an atheist. I want to be a gay. I want to be a lesbian. I want to wear short clothes. I want to fix my hairstyle the way I wish. I want to eat this. I want to drink that. I want to walk this way. I want to go to this education. I want to live ungodly lifestyle. I want to marry this person whom I love, not the one fit with the family style. I want to do this. No, you cannot do anything. There is no freedom in Islam, period, about the food or about a drink, about clothes or about language or about marriage or about barrier or about... you don't even have freedom where to be buried, for heaven's sake. There is no freedom whatsoever. To be a Muslim is, as we mentioned earlier, Christy, is to submit, to surrender, to give up your freedom. That's it. There's no, you have to choose between freedom or Islam. See, Muslim in America, go ahead.
You just reminded me, because remember when we were first seeing these signs in Britain, and they were published all over the internet, people couldn't understand it. It said, freedom, go to hell. Why are Muslims saying that? Because of
democracy, go to hell. Because I'm telling you, the only way Islam survived the last 1,400 whatever years, the only reason how Islam survived all these years, because simply that is Islam. There's no freedom. If there is freedom, Muslims will never have another day in Islam. The reason the Muslims are Muslim because they're born from Muslim parents. And the Muslim parents are Muslim because their parents were Muslims. And you go back all the way in the day of Muhammad. What happened? Let me share this with our audience. And I know you guys have maybe heard me say before. What is the first war we have in Islam? The first war. And when it took place? It took place the day Muhammad died, the first civil war. And this is what is known as the war of apostasy. What is the war of apostasy, Chris? You see, after Muhammad died, many of the Arabs, the Bedouins, who understand Islam, the Bedouins who know Allah and the Quran and Muhammad very well, they left Islam. And Abu Bakr Siddiq, the first Khalifa, said, it will never happen. He said, no. And he went in war, and the war kept going and going and going, and thousands of Muslims who left Islam were killed, and Muslims who stayed in Islam were killed. That is the first war. This first war is a great evidence that there is no freedom in Islam. Well, these people do not want to be a Muslim. You see, the dictator Muhammad, this mafia leader Muhammad is dead. So the Arabs said, Allahu Akbar, you know, as Muslims shout Allahu Akbar, it's a shout of victory. We're free. So they left Islam. Yeah. Abu Bakr said, you're not free. Back to Islam or we'll kill you. Can you imagine, from day one, Muhammad died until today, the Muslim practice the same teaching. It is honor killing for Allah. Why? Because you cannot leave Islam. There is no freedom for you as a Muslim man or a Muslim woman to choose something else besides Islam. There is no freedom. Why is that? Oh, because Usama made it up. No. Oh, because it's culture. You know, it's just something in the culture and in people in the Muslim world live in this culture. No. It is Islam. Quran chapter 6. Verse 151, Allah in the Quran states what? Kill the soul which Allah forbid, except for a just cause. Allah is commanding the Muslims through Muhammad not to kill the Muslim because that is the only soul Allah forbid, because Allah allow Muslim to kill everybody else who is not a Muslim, as Muhammad himself came with this agenda. I have been commanded, Muhammad said in Sahih Muslim and in Sahih Bukhari, I have been commanded to engage in war with people. Why is that, Muhammad? For how long, Muhammad, will you engage in war with people? He said, until they say there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger. Do you understand this, Christy? Islam is to kill people until people accept Islam. So where is the freedom to accept Islam? That is number one. So you are forced into Islam. How about leaving Islam? Muhammad said in Sahih Muslim and in Sahih Bukhari, the blood of the Muslim cannot be shed except in three cases. In the case of murder, that is if a Muslim kill a Muslim. Not if a Muslim kill a Christian or a Muslim kill a Jew, because Allah throughout the Quran is asking Muslims to kill every Jew and every Christian and every non-Muslim. Number two, if a Muslim commit adultery. Number three, if a Muslim apostate. If a Muslim leave Islam, he or she must be put to death. So where is the freedom of religion? You force people by the sword to accept Islam, and if they leave Islam, you kill them. Hello, Chrissy. This is the easy way to understand freedom. It's freedom. It's a free, a man and a woman is free to worship however they like. No. In Islam, there's no such a thing. You're going to be forced to accept Islam, and if you left Islam, we'll kill you. Where is the freedom of religion here, Christy? Where is the freedom of religion?
It's very hard for people in the West to understand this mentality, because the Christian and the Jewish Bible teaches that people are free to make a choice, that God allows them that freedom to make a choice. So they don't understand that Muslims do not have this option. Muslims don't have the freedom to be something else. That is a very hard concept, I think, for most of the Western world to understand. But we know that it's true. We know that Muslims are killed by Muslims for not following what one group thinks another group should think. They kill each other, and if you leave Islam, you'll be killed. That's the end of freedom of religion, because most people don't want to die.
Absolutely, and that's what's happening in the Middle East from the days of Muhammad until today. The Sunni have been killing in Syria and Iraq more Shiite in the last few days, a few weeks, more than all the Muslims who were killed by the American soldiers in 10 years. 10 years war since Bush started the war until today. Actually, more than 10 years, 11 years or so. We have not killed the same amount of Muslims which the Muslim Sunni right now are killing among the Shiites in the two countries of Iraq and Syria alone. I mean, do you understand that? See, the media does not tell us here. They kill 1,000, they kill 10,000, they kill 1,500, they kill 2,700. This number does not come to the media here because maybe if the Americans see what Muslims are doing to the Muslims, maybe, Christy, the American will wake up and say, wait a minute, we have the same Muslim live in America. As a matter of fact, many of those fighters are American citizens. Are you listening to me, America? America, hello, America. It is the 5th of July, one day after the freedom celebration we have in America. Many of our Muslims, American, right now are fighting in Syria and Iraq to kill the Shia and to kill the Christian. And these people can be here next week. They will jump on airplane and they'll be here next week. And I hope, I hope we wake up and watch them and we capture them and we mark them before they destroy this country from within too.
Yes, remember, Usama, we talked a few years ago about how you had many Muslims coming to this country, coming to America, and having children with American women, and those children are American citizens born in the United States of America from an American mother, a Muslim father from another country. And then if they're boys, particularly, these children are taken and raised in a Muslim country. They're still American citizens who could come back. And we've seen this problem now expand to where we have adult children who've grown up as Muslims now traveling to these foreign countries in order to fight for Allah because they're Muslim.
It is sick, what we need to know in America is that a Muslim, their allegiance is to Allah, to Muhammad, to the Muslim country where they come from, to the Muslim neighboring country they are friend with, to the Muslim neighboring country they are enemy with, and then you can kiss America goodbye. There is no such a thing as a Muslim Americans. There is no such a thing as a Muslim Americans. If they're Muslims, they're not American. If they're Americans, they're not Muslim. If they give allegiance to our Constitution, to our freedom, that means they have to kiss Islam goodbye. You cannot be a Muslim and be a free man or free woman. And America means, to me, means a free man and a free woman. If you're a free man, you're American. If you're not a free man, then you're not American. Muslim can never be free. Now, I want to quote a few verses of the Quran, Christy, where the word free man or free woman is mentioned. Because we have to be fair, yes, the word freedom, with the understanding of freedom, does not exist in the Quran, period. Period. You see the word free man, free woman. For example, Quran chapter 2 and verse 178. Allah said, O you who have believed, retaliation is decreed on you for the murder. The free man for the free, and the slave for the slave, and the female for the female. You know, Christy, first time I read this verse, I could not have a clue. I could not understand what in the world Muhammad's talking about. There's no way anyone can have a clue what this verse is talking about. But guess what? Listen carefully to the verse. Oh, you have believed. Retaliation is decreed on you for the murder. So if somebody commits a murder, the person who lost a family member has the right to retaliate, have the right to revenge. Listen to that. The free man for the free man. So if I killed, say, your father, Christy, and I'm a free man, and your father is a free man, then you or your family have the right to kill me. But if some women in our party killed your father, who's a free man, or some slave in our country, in our community, in our household, kill your father who's a free man. You don't kill the slave. You don't kill the female who killed your father. But you kill the owner of the slave. The free man of the family of the female. Because you have to retaliate equal to what you lost. You're going to kill equal to what you lost. Not killing the person who commits the crime. No, 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 no. It's about retaliation, Christy. It's not about justice. Because justice, which is a very norm for freedom, the person who commits the crime to be punished.
Right.
No, 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 no. Islam is not that way. We're going to retaliate. You killed 20-year-old son from my family, then I'm going to kill 20-year-old son from your family, not the person who killed my son. And the continuation is true, slave for slave. If I am a free man and I killed one of your slaves, Christy Johnson, now you and your family cannot kill me. You have no right to kill me because I'm a free man. So what do you do is you pick up one of my slaves, same size, same age, close to the best as you got to your slave, and you kill him. So you literally are killing an innocent slave just to retaliate. And the third part, which is here, Christy, is and the female for the female. If I killed you, your family must kill my wife or a daughter of mine in the same age as yours. That is the most barbaric cult ever exists from the day of Adam and Eve until today. And you know what's happening in Iran right now, in Iraq, Christy? The Sunni are retaliating from the Shiites. And this, by the way, the war between Iraq and Iran, it was for a good 10 years when Saddam Hussein was alive. You remember this, Christy? You're old enough, you remember
that. Yes.
10 years, Iraqi Sunni under Saddam Hussein were killing the Shiites in Iran. And the Shiites in Iran were killing the Iraqi. And even you go to Iraq right now, a bomb go off in a Sunni mosque. I promise you, within few hours, if not few days, similar bomb will go off a Shiite mosque. Shia equals Sunni, Sunni equals Shia, Shia equals Sunni, Sunni equals Shia. They never investigate who commits the crime. Because if you only capture one guy who put a bomb in a mosque, and there was 100 or 500 people inside the mosque praying, one man killed 500. Do you think it would be justice in Islam, according to this verse, Quran chapter 2 and verse 117? Do you think it would be justice to kill one man as a retaliation for the killing of 200-300 people inside the mosque? Of course not. 200-300 people got killed from the Sunni mosque, then the Sunni have the right to retaliate by killing or putting some bomb in a Shia mosque to kill around 200-300 people.
Yeah, and the sad thing is the majority of the people that are losing their lives are innocent of the crimes. This is so ridiculous because the person who committed the crime isn't the one that's punished. It's crazy.
But retaliation, listen to this. All you who have believed, Allah speaking to believer, retaliation is decreed on you for the murder. The free man for the free, the slave for the slave, and the female for the female. You have the right to revenge, to retaliate equal to what you lost, not killing the person who commits the crime. That is the most barbaric cult ever exists in anywhere around the world. Let me quote you another verse, Christy. Listen to this. And whoever among you who cannot marry the free believing woman, so have sex with those whom your right hand possesses from your young believing girls. Can you imagine that? Talking about slavery in Islam. Slavery in Islam. To marry, Christy, you have to explain. I know you know that, but let me just explain it to the others. Maybe someone who first time to hear us and never been with us in the past. In the Muslim world, according to Islam, to marry a free woman is expensive. To marry a free woman is expensive. Why is that? Because you have to give her daddy some dowry. Some camels, some horses, some mule, some goat, some gold, some silver, some money. I mean, she's a free woman from a free father. So Allah says in the Quran, and whoever among you who cannot marry free believing woman, you don't have the funds. You don't have 10 camels or 5 camels to this super rich man who has this beautiful daughter. All right? So what do you do? So have sex with those whom your right hand possesses. just pick up 3-4 girls. You see, you can have a slave girl in Islam. And as a matter of fact, you can make some good business out of her. If you got 3-4 girls, you can open a house of prostitution in Islam, according to Allah's word in the Quran. Can you imagine that with me? So what you do is, you get 3-4 girls, you feed them a couple, 3 meals a day, and maybe a shower once in a while, and you put them in the house, and you'll be the pimp. Is it called pimp or pin? How do you say it? Pimp? Pimp. Okay, pimp. Not pimp, pimp. Okay, so here's a Muslim man. He's a good man. He's a good Muslim, and he prays to Allah 5 times a day, and he go check on his girls 3 times a day, and he's a good pimp, and he hires these guys, he hires them, he rents them for the guys to sleep around so he can make some money. You know that's what Allah teaches the Quran? So now you got this girl, and you cannot marry a free woman. Things, you know, economy is not doing good. You don't have enough customers to make money. You yourself, sleep with them. Have sex with them. There's nothing wrong with that. Islam teaches that, Christy.
I know. It's shocking. If people only knew and how it hurts, how it hurts your standing in the Christian world if you don't know this and you give support to this kind of thing, because this is Islam. And when we say that Islam is evil, and we say that it is evil to support it, we got Christians that go, oh, no, Islam's wonderful. Well, if you really, truly know what Islam teaches, there is no way you can be a Christian and not speak out against it. We're supposed to call evil evil.
Yeah. Do you have a Quran with you, Chris? I want you to read this verse for us, because I guarantee you, if some Muslim hears this, he's going to say, wait a minute, you're making this up. There's no such a thing as prostitution in Islam. Yes, indeed, there is prostitution in Islam. Quran chapter 24 and verse 33, if you don't mind, Christy.
Okay.
Quran chapter 24, come up to 23, before 25, in the middle.
Yeah.
Between, okay? All
yes.
Right.
Okay, here we go.
24 and
33. And let those who cannot afford to have sex marry, keep themselves chaste until Allah enriches them of his bounty, and those of whom your right hand possesses. Who desires
that's
book?
Keep going. I need the rest of the verse.
So write it for them if you know that there is some good in them, and give to them from Allah's money what he gave you. And do not compel.
Slow down. This part you need to read it word for word. If you read it fast, I'm going to miss it. And do not, go ahead, what?
And do not compel your young females to become prostitutes if they want to keep chaste, so that you may seek the material of this world's life. And whosoever compels them, so surely after they were compelled, Allah is forgiving, merciful.
So now a Muslim man has 10 girls in the house, or 5, depending how much he can have. And they said, I don't want to be compelled, please. I don't want to be a prostitute. I don't want to sleep with all these men you bring to the house. Allah said, do not do it if they choose not to. But if the girls want to have sex with all their customer, all your friends and the customer, that's okay. But even though, look at this, and whoever compels them, some Muslim are going to compel the girls, after all, they're slaves. You do whatever you want to do with them. And whoever compels them, so surely after they were compelled, Allah is forgiven, merciful. Allah will forgive them. Allah is merciful. But the point from the verse, very merciful, I know. But the point I'm trying to share about the word freedom here, the freedom does not exist, but the word free believing woman exists. You cannot, if you cannot, you don't have enough camels or enough gold for the free Muslim female, then just enjoy yourself with all the slaves you got. After all, you know, it is cheaper to have sex with a slave than to marry a free woman. Do you understand that, Christy? Now, let's move on to another verse. Another verse because of the sake of time. Quran chapter 4, verse 92. Go ahead and read this verse for us, Christy. 4:92.
Okay. Here we go. Let's get to 4. And verse 92. Hold on.
492.
Okay, here we go. And it was not for a believer to kill a believer except by khatiyah.
Khatiyah means an accident or mistake, okay?
Okay.
By mistake.
And whoever kills a believer by mistake, so freeing a believer's neck from slavery, and the blood money will be paid to the family of the slain unless they give it as alms.
Oh, you see, Muslims are not allowed to kill a Muslim man. You don't do that unless it was an accident. I mean, an accident happened. You can't help it. And if you kill a Muslim man by accident, there is a punishment now. What is the punishment? You have to free one of your slaves. Free a believer's neck. Not any slave. It has to be a Muslim slave. Can you imagine that? So Muslims say,
wow,
there's no slavery in Islam. No. There is slavery in Islam. And if you kill a free man, you have to free one of your slaves. Freeing a believer's neck as a punishment for killing a Muslim believer. By the way, So as you go throughout the Quran looking for the word freedom, it will never be mentioned, but free man, free woman, these are the two words you only can see there, free believers, blah, blah, blah. But freedom itself is not there. Freedom as we can understand it in America does not exist in Islam. So here's my catch, Chrissy. Here's my point. How in the world George W. Bush ever thought he can bring freedom to Iraq as long as there is Islam in Iraq? How in the world George W. Bush or any American can think for a minute to spend a dime or to drop one bomb on Syria or shoot one bullet in Syria to free the Syrian people? The Syrian people will never be free. What we have done in Egypt was a big mistake under Barack Hussein Obama. What we have done in Libya is a big mistake under Barack Hussein Obama. What we're about to do in Syria, it is a big mistake under Barack Hussein Obama. It will never be freedom in a Muslim country. I'm telling you, and I will say it for the rest of my life. For the last 1,400 plus years, not one Muslim country ever had freedom. I know how the liberal or how Bush even presents this case to the American people by telling you, oh, Saddam Hussein is a bad guy. Why is it that Saddam Hussein is a bad guy? They will tell you, he's been in power for 40 years or for 30-some years. And people say, whoa! 30 years he's ruling over the people of Iraq. This man is dictator. We must get rid of him to free the Iraqi people. No, you foolish American. You will never free the Iraqi people, because if that is the reason why we're going to get involved in war in Iraq, then we should get involved in war in all 57 Muslim countries. Because guess what? What's happening in Iraq is the same as what's happening in Egypt, is the same as what's happening in Saudi Arabia, is the same as what's happening in every one of the 57 Muslim countries. Their leaders there are not elected through election to serve 4 or 6 years. Their leaders there are the men who force themselves over them, and they've been there for all their life until they die, and most likely their children will take over unless somebody else kills them and take over, and this new person will be also in charge of the country until somebody else kill him. That's how it's working, the Muslim world. That's how it's working, the Muslim world.
And that's the ignorance that we had and the foolishness, because the other thing we have forgotten about America and its freedom is that it is something that comes from God. You cannot free people who don't know the God of the Bible, where they're worshiping Allah, who doesn't believe in freedom. They will not be free. You can't free people with bullets. There has to be faith in a God who gives us the the understanding that every life is precious in God's eyes, and Islam doesn't teach that.
Absolutely. So in similar words, I see, because I always hear this Christie on the TV, oh, Saddam Hussein was a bad guy, so is the rest of the 56, the other 56. Also, Muammar Gaddafi have $113 billion in his account. I mean, he is stealing the oil and the riches of Libya. So it is in the rest of the leaders of every Muslim country. If you're going to get rid of Bashar Assad because he's been in power for 10, 15 years, you need to get rid of the king of Saudi Arabia. And since you will never touch the Saudi king, guess what? Leave. Leave the rest of the Muslim world alone, because all what we're doing is very simple. We're blowing our money, and we're blowing our soldiers' bodies, and we're losing many of their lives. We're shedding so much blood for nothing. It's the waste. There will never be democracy in Iraq, as there will never be democracy in any Muslim country, period. And if you're going to fight in one country, you need to fight in the rest of the 56 countries, because all 57 Muslim countries around the world have the same problem. But I don't know if people are listening or not. Let's take another break, and a quick break. We'll be right back to conclude our study for tonight, Freedom or Surrender.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to our last segment for tonight, and I appreciate you being with us, and I hope and I pray you guys have a wonderful time with your family and friends and neighbors to celebrate this great time of the birthday of America, this wonderful country, and what it means to me personally. It is a place where I still have freedom, and I hope and I pray that the liberal will leave out of controlling this country and allowing Muslims to destroy this country, but losing our freedom, really. Before the break, I was talking about how Islam, in the Muslim world, there's no freedom. And you may put this on cultures. Well, that is the way they always live. This is a culture. No. It has nothing to do with culture, America. It is Islam. Let me quote you Hadith by Muhammad. And is this written in Sahih Muslim, in the book of Imara, the name of the title of the chapter, In the case of two Khalifa. Muhammad tells the Muslims, if two persons run for office, and that is democracy, Christy. You have, every time in America somebody runs for office, there's always two or three sometimes, actually. As a matter of fact, you get 10 people on the right side and 10 people on the left side, and they present themselves to the people, and one of the 10 is the Democrat, and the Democrat Party win, and one of the 10 of the Republican win, and then the Republican run against the Democrat, and then one will win, and he will be the president. Election America. That's America. Now listen to Islam. a different story. Muhammad said, when the oath of allegiance has been taken for two khalifas, now we have the Muslim people in Iraq, or the Muslim people in Saudi Arabia, or the Muslim people in any Muslim country, two people running for the office of khalifa. The khalifa is a political religious leader. And that's what the Muslims are trying to accomplish right now between Egypt and Libya and Sudan and Lebanon and Syria and Jordan, the new Islamic State. Muhammad said, if two khalifa is running for the office of khalifa, guess what you're going to do here? Kill the latter of them. Muhammad did not say, have election and people vote, and whoever has the 51% becomes the president, and the other one who got 49% just set aside and maybe run again in 4 years or so. No. Muhammad said, two khalifa running for the office of khalifa, kill the latter one of them. So first khalifa, he was running on Friday. The second khalifa decided to run on Monday or an hour later. No. We're going to kill the latest one. And the first one will be khalifa. Imagine this was me, Christy. Barack Hussein Obama is running for the office of the President of the United States of America. And so is McCain or Mitt Romney. And if Obama win, we will take McCain or Mitt Romney before the Washington Memorial there, what do you call this monument, and you get a nice sword and strike his off over his neck and beheaded him. Now we've got the new president. That is Islam, because you're laughing. I know you're laughing. You think it's funny. It's not funny. That is Islam.
No, I know this is true. This is why we talk about how these dictatorships work. Because look at the dictators that were taken down. They were killed. They were killed. That's how they changed their leadership. It's almost always that way.
That's the truth. That's the sad truth. You know what? I hate to celebrate such day today with all our wonderful people by talking about Muhammad or Allah or the Quran or Islam, because that depressed me. That make me sick. I want to close with a few verses from the Bible, which it truly talk about freedom. Because I believe the freedom we have, as you said yourself, Christy, a few minutes ago in our second segment, I believe, the freedom we have in America is simply we have it because we are a Christian nation. We have it because we have guidance from God through His Word in the Bible. When we lose our Christianity in America, that is when we're going to lose our freedom for sure. I'm not guessing. I know this to be a fact. The day we turn our back against God, against the Bible, against Christianity, when Christians are persecuting this country, that means it is a loss of our freedom. Listen to what Jesus says, okay, in the book of John, chapter 8, verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So why we're free in America? Because we know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That is in the book of John, chapter 8, and verse 32. Let's go four verses below it. Same book, the book of John, chapter 8, and verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The only way we can be free in America, the only way you as an individual, as a person can be free, is the Son set you free. And you know what is my greatest enemy, Christy? My greatest enemy is me. My sin. Everything I say and everything I do displeasing to the Son. Everything I say and everything I do displeasing to the Father or to the Holy Spirit. That make me slave. That make me not a free man anymore. You also, our dear listeners, if you do not know the Son, Jesus Christ, if the Son, Jesus Christ, have not set you free, you're not a free man. You're not a free woman. I don't care where do you live. If you live in America, or you live in Saudi Arabia, or if you live in the moon. If the Son did not set you free, you're not free. And the only way you can be truly set free is if the Son set you free. Because then you'll be free indeed. That is John chapter 8, verse 36. Let me quote you another verse. To know the truth, which we're talking about. You see, in the book of John chapter 8 and verse 32, we said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Who is the truth? And then we talked in chapter 8, verse 36, the Son, therefore, shall make you free. If the Son shall make you free, you are free indeed. Listen to the words of the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. The truth set us free, and the truth is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way. He is the life. He is the truth. And Jesus alone can truly set us all free. And why don't we ask the question, how can I be set free? How can I be set free? First of all, without Jesus Christ, you have to know that you are a lost person. And if you know Jesus Christ, but you still have sin in your life, you are a slave to your sin. And believe me, none of us is perfect. We all sin. We have different sin, different name, different title, different shape of sin, different color of sin. But sin is sin. And when we fall in sin, we're no longer free people. We are slave to those whom we serve. We're slave to Satan as we serve Satan all our life. How can I be set free from my sin? How can I be set free from the guilt of sin in my life? In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, the Bible gives us a great verse. And that is the answer for America. That is the answer for the whole world. It is the answer for every one of us individually. Listen to what the Bible said. If my people, God the Father is speaking, and he said, if my people, which are called by my name, I know in America we say, we're a Christian country. We're a Christian nation. We're a Christian country. We're a Christian nation. Okay. You Christians, if you want to be set free, listen carefully. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Very simple. First thing, you humble yourself. We're a very prideful family. We're a very prideful country. We're very prideful people. We're not humble. I mean, I look at this, at the condition of America today, and people with being arrogant and being ignorant, it is unbelievable. I don't think the American people realize we have a problem. It's called Barack Hussein Obama. I don't think the American people have a problem. It's called Islam spread all over this country as they control almost every office in America today. Why? Because we're very prideful. We're not humble. But if we humble ourselves and we pray, why we're not praying? Because I don't think we need God. You know what's amazing, Christy? In all the flight I've done, and I've done many, many flights. I don't know how many flights in my life. All my life I've been flying the last 24 years or so. All these years I fly. When the airplane starts shaking, watch people sitting in the airplane. All of them are praying, oh God. 5 minutes earlier, when the airplane was going smooth and everything is fine, people are just doing everything. And if you sit and talk to some of the people in the airplane, atheists, they will tell you, there is no God. Man made up God. You're a crook. You're a crook to believe there's God. It's a joke. Live your life. Forget about God. Forget about Christianity. Same guy who will mock Christianity and mock God by calling himself an atheist. When the airplane is shaking, he would be crying out, oh God. So, why we are not praying? Why we are not praying? Because we are prideful. We are not humble. So, when can we pray if we humble ourselves? If we humble ourselves. So, if my people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face. No, we need God's hand. We are seeking God's hand, but we don't want to see God's face. No, we need to humble ourselves and pray and see God's face. And we here we go. And turn from our wicked ways. Turn from their wicked ways. We need to do what's right. We need to repent. Then I will hear from heaven. God will hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. I believe the healing of America will come after the forgiveness of sin in America, which will not take place unless we cry out to God, seeking his face, by humbling ourselves, confessing our sin to him as we pray and cry out to him. And that's the only way we can hold on to its freedom. The freedom we have in America was never free. The freedom we have in America was never cheap. Thousands and thousands of people died for this country. I don't have anybody in my family die in this country, but I am willing to die for my son and for my grandchildren in this country if we can hold on to our freedom. And the freedom we have in our Christian faith is not free. It costs us nothing, but it costs our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ his life. He died on the cross. He bled to death on this shameful cross to set us free from our sins. I hope and I pray as we celebrate this time of America, of our independence and our freedom and our liberty, we will not forget God. Because when we forget God, if we forgot God, he will forget us. And if we turn our face from God and give him our back, he can turn his back too. And believe it or not, this hurricane, which is Category 1, shaked a little bit of America. And it just came on the 1st of July. We never have hurricanes on the 1st of July for years and years. Can you imagine if we have real Category 5 hurricanes all over America and tornadoes and earthquakes and all these terrible things? This country can be shaken so bad in no time. So let us humble ourselves and let us pray and seek God's face, not God's hand. He will bless us if we seek his face. And let's turn from our wicked way, and he will heal this land. He will heal this country. Amen.
Amen, Yisam. And I think one of the most important things, I was so glad to hear you emphasize, is the idea of humility. You know, we should be humbled that God has allowed a Muslim man to become president of this country. We know that God allowed it, but I don't believe it's because God chose it as a blessing. I believe he allowed it to be a warning to us that we need to humble ourselves, because our freedom does not come because we're a great country or even because we have a great military or because we have great economic power. We have all those things as blessings from God because he is supposed to be our Lord and we're supposed to be listening to him, and he has blessed us. He's been patient with us. And now when we have a Muslim man as a president, every Christian should be humbled. But, you know, instead of being humbled, they said, oh, no, he's a Christian. This is why we're missing the boat. We don't even want to really examine what it means to be a Christian. We're just going to call somebody a Christian when they're ungodly. And the Bible, I believe, tells us that that's a curse on us because we're calling evil good. If everybody is a Christian, then nobody is a Christian. You know, there's a difference between good and evil. If everything's good, then there's no evil. We're supposed to be the salt and light. And in this country, if you're a believer in Christ, you have the obligation to speak the truth, to say what is right, what's evil is evil. Don't call evil good. And humbling ourselves and saying, how in the world did we allow ourselves to get to this point that we let a Muslim man come to power claiming he was a Christian? And when we see the things he taught, I mean, seriously, just his position on abortion, what he's done to promote abortion, that should tell all of us. He is no Christian.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm just sad. I'm sad.
Yeah. I understand. You know what? I believe, as my friend Sam Shimon said, Muslims are in America for two reasons. Number one, for us to evangelize them, to reach out to them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I add, and we have not done that. And the second reason they're here is, I believe, as Sam Shimon said, it is God is going to use the Muslims to discipline the Christian, to discipline the American, to discipline our arrogance, to discipline our pride. Literally, God is going to humble the American in general by the Muslims, as they will persecute us and they will force us. They will put our woman in burqa, in the hijab, and they will force us to eat the lawful food, and they will force us to bathe in jizya, and they will kill us, and they will burn our churches, and they will destroy our businesses, exactly as Muslims do in the Middle East in 57 Muslim countries. They're already scaring the daylight out of the European. Scaring the daylight out of the European. And they're not even 5% in any of the European countries. Can you imagine when the double become 10%? They will be burning Europe in no time. And the same in America. That's why I said this, we have to realize that we have a cancer spread in America. And the name of the cancer is Islam. Muslims are victim number one of Islam. And Americans and Westerns will be victim number two because they will kill themselves for their Allah to kill us. When a man is willing to kill himself, you cannot be any more victim than that. Go ahead, Christy.
No, I was just going to say, you are so right about this because the cure for the Muslim is Jesus Christ, just like that's the cure for America. If we can come back to our Lord and Savior, then we have something to offer the Muslim that's far better than Islam or Allah. But if we have left Jesus out of our own life, how do we reach a Muslim? We have nothing to offer them because their faith, their commitment, and their dedication is greater already than many, many Christians. So we have to offer the real thing, the God that is the way, the truth, and the life. That's Jesus Christ. We need to hang on to him because that is the only hope, not just for America, but for the world and for every Muslim. It is the only hope.
Amen. Well, it's life. It's life. I hope and I pray that somehow through midterm election, we'll turn this country around. If not, we have a problem. We really have a problem. Lord help us. Lord help us that we'll not go into this line of life. Because I know Islam. I know Muslims. I know their agenda. I know why they're here. They're not here because they love our freedom. Otherwise, why in the world Muslim would bother to carry a sign, as you mentioned earlier, Christy, and the sign said freedom go to hell or democracy go to hell? Not in Saudi Arabia or in Iraq or in Syria or in Afghanistan. No, in Europe. Why Muslims carry the sign freedom go to hell and democracy go to hell? It's very simple because this is something that does not exist within the cult of Islam. And they don't want us to have it. They're here to take over our life. They're here to change this country. Or why in the world Muslims reject our constitution and they want it so badly to replace it with Sharia, Islamic law? Because in Sharia, there's no freedom, period. In our constitution, there's freedom. And as long as we have our constitution, Muslims cannot really take this country fast. The best way is get rid of our constitution, get rid of our freedom, and replace it with Sharia. And that'll be the end of it.
Yeah, God.
All right.
I mean, there's a God of Islam, but it isn't the God of the Bible. It's Satan himself. Usama, why don't you say a prayer, you know, for what we're talking about? I just feel like maybe we should say a prayer for the people in this country to wake up and see, you know, how our freedom is going to go if we don't hang on to the Lord. And then we close up the show.
Absolutely. Let's do that. And Father God, we give thanks to you because you are the God of freedom. You have loved us so much that you have blessed us with the freedom to choose to believe in you or not, to accept your gift of eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ, or not, to live right before you or not. This freedom Muslims do not know because Allah, their God, Satan, did not give them this option. To believe in Allah or not, to accept Muhammad or not, as Muhammad was commanded by his Allah, Satan, to engage in war with people, to kill people until people accept him and believe in his Allah. But that's not how you create us. You create us as free people. We're not a puppet with some string to move according to your wishes with your finger, but you have blessed us to give us the freedom to believe and accept your love or not. And even though many of us in planet Earth they choose not to believe in you, they choose to treat us all the same. The sunshine and the rain come down from heaven on all the people of the Earth the same. Even though none of us deserve any of this great gift you give to us, eternal freedom. I pray, Lord Jesus, that this American, the American people, as they go through this celebration one more time, they will appreciate the freedom we have in America, and they will come to realize and understand that it causes their ancestors their life. And we cannot give up on our freedom. We cannot let the Muslim have it, because then it will be the worst scenario, the worst case for us. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will guide your people to appreciate the freedom we have, to appreciate every gift and every good gift come from above. Help us, Lord Jesus, to fight for our freedom, that we'll do everything we can to stop Muslims from taking over this country, but we'll do everything we can to free Muslims from the cult of Islam, as we share the love of Christ and the truth of your gospel, the good news that Jesus died on the cross for their sin and set them free. Not this liar, Muhammad, who lied to them, to deceive them, to make them reject the death of Christ and his resurrection, because he taught them that he never did. He never died on the cross for our sins. We love you and praise you. We leave this country and the next year to your hand, that this country will wake up and the people of this country will realize the value and the importance of our freedom. And it's in Christ's name alone we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you.
All right. Go ahead.
Well,
Yes,
and thank you, everyone. God bless you all, and we'll see you next week.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now, perhaps saying something like this: Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam.
Join us each Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam.